Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Beryl-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. And today we're going to be talking with Stephanie Miller and Frank Birdie, and we'll be talking about benefits. Did I just say the word benefits? Yes, I did. But we're going to make it fun today because benefits could be boring, but Frank and Stephanie have assured me that today's program will not be boring. So let's just think about it for a minute. You know, you have a lot of employees. HR is in charge of a lot of employees, C-suite professionals in charge of a lot of employees, and benefits and payroll are a big part of your time. Heaven forbid you get it wrong. Heaven forbid you get it right. Either way, they expect you to do this the correct way. 25 to 40% of payroll also is regarded to benefit brokers. So, hey, we have Stephanie and Frank from Alliance Employee Benefits. Tell us about Alliance Employee Benefits. Stephanie, what's that all about?
Actually, we're really excited to share the story. Alliance has been around for 40 years, 40 plus years, actually. We are based in the West Coast, so a lot of folks don't know us here in Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts. So we are definitely getting the word out. And in the past year, we have grown tremendously. Not only with office employees, the main office went from having 2 employees to 12 in the past 6 months. And the Boston office is growing pretty significantly as well. We are a full service brokerage consulting firm, and we not only offer consulting around employee benefits, but we offer consulting around property and casualty, HR consulting, 401k, HR technology consulting. So if there's if you're having issues with a provider, we can help escalate those issues. Or if you're in search of a new provider, we can help issue an RFP for you, and also project manage implementations.
Frank, what makes you different than all other benefit brokers out there?
I think the fact that we're 51% employee owned. So we all have a vested interest, quite frankly, David, and we really are, you know, there's no I in team. So if Stephanie is successful, then I'm successful, as is everybody within the organization, because we all have a hand in this, quite frankly, and we have some skin in the game because we're all owners in the company. And it's one of the reasons I left, you know, to be honest with you, I was working at, you know, a top 4 firm for a long time. I was at the number 1 firm before that for almost 16 years, you know, really doing well, could have coasted to retirement, you know, with a really nice paycheck. But I really wanted to make a difference. And I had the opportunity to work, you know, kind of start up in New England and work with a bunch of great folks, you know, really top in our fields. They really went after some really top talent here, you know, and hired folks that were very seasoned from all the top firms. So I'm working with some of the smartest people I've ever worked with in my career, which is so nice. And, you know, we're really excited to do that. And, you know, they gave me equity in the company to come on board. So I feel like I'm really part of the solution for my clients. So it's a really exciting time, I think, to work with Alliant. I think we not only are their number, I think, 9th largest firm in the, you know, in the industry today, and we bring a lot of, you know, market share to the table, but I think we bring some of the most, you know, some of the top talent, as well as, you know, everybody's just so fired up to be successful and do a great job here and do a great job for our clients. And a lot of us are in, you know, I hate to say like the tail end, or, you know, I would say the twilight of our career. We probably all have 10, 15 years, a lot of the folks that were hired, and we were so bored, quite frankly, doing the same old thing in our old firms, that everybody is just charged up to really look at things differently and to work for a really innovative company that's, you know, on the cusp of doing some really great stuff. So I'm just really excited to be part of this next phase in this company. And you know what? To your point, insurance tends to be boring. And one thing Alliance, you know, new team is in New England, at least from what I can see in our New York market, is nobody's boring. So everybody is pretty much fired up and ready to have a good time because we're all at, you know, I would say, no, not that we're all at the end of our careers, but we're pretty established in our careers. And we joined here because we wanted to break the status quo and have some fun.
That's awesome. Well, what I want to start out with today is thinking about what if an organization is out there and they're thinking about selecting a new broker. You know, I got to tell you, running a company and having worked for companies, when you make a decision to change benefits or change any of that, it's just every HR professional listening right now has the knot in their stomach, the thought about, oh, changing benefits. Yes, I was thinking I'd rather have a root canal tomorrow than talk about that. And I'm actually thinking, you know, maybe lighting my hair on fire isn't such a bad idea. It would get me new hair. So, you know, when people are thinking of doing that, what should they think about? What are some of the steps they should consider? How should they think about the timing of this? Because it is something as we're heading towards the, you know, the part of the year when people decide on these things. I'd love to know what your thoughts are. Whoever wants to start. Stephanie, you want to take that on first?
Yeah, sure. Unlike changing a new payroll provider, you don't have to start at the beginning of a year or the beginning of a quarter. You can change a broker of record anytime, and it's legitimately a piece of paper. However, there are a lot of organizations that, you know, keep the same broker for 10, 12, 15 years, and it's great. I mean, we love that. We have long-term clients. I think our longest-term client is, I think, 40 years now. But that doesn't mean that they haven't checked around. There are a lot of times, even in my past firm, where organizations, their broker has just taken the foot off the pedal. They just assume that they're going to renew with the broker every year. And so maybe the visits aren't as often, or maybe they're not doing the marketings that they should be doing because they are a lot of work. But there are a lot of good reasons to go out to an RFP to look at other brokers. Your organization, you know, 5 years ago probably looks a lot different today. Whether you are in merger and acquisition mode, growth mode, or downsized, or maybe you're in new lines of business where you have different types of employees. It's good to run an RFP process. It doesn't have to be complicated. You can make it as complicated or as simple as you want to, really. It's a big decision, and oftentimes there are relationships at play, but that doesn't always mean that the owners next door neighbor should be your broker. Sometimes that's not a good business decision.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. Today, we're talking with Stephanie Miller and Frank Birdie, and we're talking to them. Of course, they're from Alliant Employee Benefits. We're talking to them about, hey, you want to go out and select a broker? What does that really mean? And it's not as scary as people think. You know, I think about some of the different things, everything from medical to 401k to dental. You can go on with all the different aspects of what a broker can provide for insurance. Frank, when an HR professional or a senior leader is looking at this and saying, okay, maybe we are experiencing a little bit of a lull of our current broker. Maybe they've been there forever. Maybe they're taking us for granted, or maybe in fact, we really just haven't thought about it, to be honest with you. There's only been a few of a thousand things going on, right, in the world today. What are one or two things that you could tell somebody would be things that they could get a win out if they do it? What's the win in doing it, checking it out?
I think Stephanie said it, that, you know, some brokers get complacent. And I think that in what employees want today is very different than what they wanted 2 years ago. I think what employees are looking for and looking to get out of employer pre-pandemic versus post-pandemic are very different. I think people have shifted from, you know, living to working to live. And I think that employees want a good work-life balance. I think that they want to make a difference. I think employees are looking at money, but they're also looking at job satisfaction. I think they like to do a hybrid workforce. So I think working with a broker that's agile and gets it, and I think by shopping a broker or putting your broker on notice that we're going to look elsewhere or we're going to just do our due diligence is helping them, step back, relook at the relationship and give it a fresh set of eyes. Because I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I didn't work with clients in my past that, I had a CFO or I had a HR director that was scared of high deductible health plans and didn't want to make a change because they didn't believe in them. But, the world's different today. Employees are coming from other employers that have high deductible health plans and they have HSA monies and they want to roll it over and they're asking you when they come in. So you have to keep fresh. Like employees, everybody got dogs. I mean, me personally, I got two, gorgeous golden doodles during the pandemic who were my lifesavers because I was alone during this whole time frame. And I have pet needs now. I need doggy daycare. I need to, have pet insurance for my pets. So having pet insurance and working for an employer that offers that is really important. I happen to be, a member of the LGBTQI, plus community. So working for an employer that supports diversity, equity, and inclusion is extremely important to me today. So I think that that's a topic that is hugely important for employees. So it's not just, what are my medical plans? Do you have Blue Cross? Do you have a good vision plan or a good dental plan? I also want to work for an employer who's going to respect women, going to respect, the LGBT, QI, plus community, if, support trans people in the community. I also want to work for an employer who respects a work-life balance. We know that all these states today are now having, they have all these STD changes, short-term disability changes and leave management changes. So working for an employer who supports paternity leave, and supports, PTO and time off, because you know what? I don't just want to work all day. I want to spend time with my family. And after having lost family members during the pandemic and being isolated, and it's helped a lot of I think employees have refocused. I think they want to work, they want to do a really good job, but they want to also be with their families and they want benefits that are meaningful for everybody. So I think shopping a broker and being with a broker that's innovative and is and puts the broker on notice that they need to look at everything with a fresh set of eyes and that the status quo is no longer acceptable, and that you constantly have to bring new ideas to the table. So I think marketing and redoing that refresh keeps the current broker on notice. And even Alliant, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Some people, we get used to a CEO who doesn't want to look at this and doesn't want to look at that. Well, guess what? The new HR man, a new CHRO could start at the company, a new, chief human resources officer, and they're going to say, well, how come you didn't look at this, this, and this? And you can't just say that, the prior person didn't want to look at that ever. You should be constantly putting new ideas to not only save money, improve the benefit offering, stay current with what employees' needs and wants are today, but then also bringing the latest and greatest vendors, cost cutting and improving member experience vendors to the table because everybody wants to hear it. And another topic, and I don't want to, go too long, but financial wellness. I mean, there are so many kids today in student debt up to their eyeballs when, and have thousands of dollars that they owe in, loans. And that's really stressful starting a new job for an employer, and that it screws with their mental health, if you want to call it that. They're overwhelmed, so we can help with that. So finding a broker that's quite frankly full service that has retirement, financial wellness, well-being, and engagement. So for the health, mental health, huge issue in this country today. People are just completely overwhelmed with what's going on in the world today, what's going on, at work, stress, divorces, how many divorces came out of the pandemic? And I think having, those resources, but I think we've got to think a little bit differently in the world of HR today, that we're kind of like therapists and we're kind of like, we're kind of like, the right hand, and we've got to be in this together.
You are correct. So much has changed over the last few years, and brokers are a big piece of that equation. We're going to talk more about that when we return. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust,
and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y.
Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home. Sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot. Driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe. Put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clef, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HRPowerHour.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back here. You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. Today, our guests are Stephanie Miller and Frank Birdie. And of course, they're with Alliant Employee Benefits. And we're talking about, are you thinking about, you know, potentially getting a new benefits broker? One of the reasons to potentially do so? How can this affect your business? What maybe could you put to the bottom line? And to that point, Frank, when somebody does look at getting a new broker, could there be cost savings? And what could they really see in cost savings potentially?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you change your broker, typically what happens is we end up marketing all lines of coverage so we can get a baseline to see kind of how the group is running, put a fresh set of eyes on it, make sure that their plans are aligned, you know, to the employees' needs and what, you know, how employees are utilizing the plans. We usually do a deep dive and a review of the utilization of the plans too, to kind of see where their spend is falling. There's a huge opportunity we find right now on the pharmacy side, especially in light of all the weight loss medications that have come out. So we're finding tremendous savings there. Looking at wellness, and how the company looks at wellness, because I think wellness, you know, ties into productivity. A happy employee, a well employee, a mentally fit employee is generally a more productive employee overall for the firm. And you end up retaining them in terms of retention as well. So I think having a new broker put a fresh set of eyes on it and doing a full blown marketing and looking at the current offerings from a strategy perspective to make sure that we're optimizing, you know, the employees' wants and needs. I think it helps. It generally results in pretty sizable savings. And I would say anywhere between 10 to 15% And as well as looking at, you know, financial arrangements, funding arrangements as well. So all those things typically help.
Stephanie, you said you had something you want to add to this.
Yeah, let's not forget about broker fees. So even though there are transparency laws, there are sometimes hidden fees and revenues that employers don't necessarily know to look for. So they really should be on the lookout for those things. Another thing with broker fees, this happens all the time. Somebody that went from fully insured to self-funded, and they've grown an employee size, and typically a fully insured group would be paying their broker a commission. And when you move to self-funding, it's not that commissions, paying through commissions are all that terrible, but when you've grown in size and you move to self-funding, you could be paying a lot more in commissions than you really need to be. So that's why it's a good kind of a health check when you put out an RFP as well.
Frank?
I think that's a great point, Stephanie, and I completely agree. The only other point I would make there is every time in a fully insured arrangement, anytime an employer gets an annual increase in their premium cost, the commissions go up. So it's like the broker gives themselves a raise every year. So it's a little counterintuitive sometimes to negotiate a better renewal on a, you know, with some brokers, because they're basically cutting into their own income. So I think looking at a fee or moving to a fee long term sometimes becomes a better strategy, because then you know exactly what the finite number a broker is going to get paid, and that is not dependent upon how much the premiums are or aren't. So the broker is going to work for you for a fee, and there's not going to be any incentive for them, or disincentive, I should say, for getting the premiums down, because it's not going to be tied to any percentage of premium. So commissions are great. It's pretty much a standard way to do business, I think, and especially in the smaller end of middle market. But as you start to trend large, to Stephanie's point, I think moving to a fee is a good way for you to cap the cost and to, you know, put, you know, have the broker, you know, lay out for you exactly what they're going to do for you and the amount of money they're going to charge you to administer your plan for you. But commissions, fee, a combination of either or, all work. And, you know, we're certainly, and most brokers are certainly open generally to that conversation to do the work for you. So that's the only other thing I really wanted to add.
No, that's great. And, you know, so let's get down into a little bit of the detail. Steps, criteria for selecting a new broker. Take me through, we talked a little bit in general. What if an organization wants to do this, what do they have to do on their current broker side? What do they have to do if they're selecting a new broker, and how does that process work? Still kind of at a high level, but still kind of take them through it so that you take the scariness out of it for them.
A lot of HR folks have relationships outside of their current broker because they're getting coffee delivered to them, or lunches, or they go to attend webinars. So they have other relationships out there, and for certain, they could send the RFP to one of those relationships. But then also they should be asking their HR friends, companies of either similar size or industry, you know, who do you use? You can send out the RFP to as many firms as you want to. It's just once you want to bring them in for either what you call an interview or a finalist, probably 3 to 4 max, depending on how many you send them to. Because you don't want to be sitting through, you know, 90-minute presentations with 10 different brokerage firms. That would be
painful. Painful yes. is the word. Painful.
Yes. And what I will say is I feel like we all look the same on paper. We can look the same. So the finalist presentation is really the differentiator. And I really suggest having a good scorecard. In the beginning of the process, you should understand what your priorities are when you're selecting, so that as you go through the finalist presentation, you can be putting your little scores in the boxes and your team can do theirs so that it's fair.
And fairness is important, right? And you're listening to the HR Power Hour. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, Educational HR Radio. I'm your host, David Chulo. You can listen to the podcast on the HR Power Hour on all major podcast channels. You can, of course, go to hrpowerhour.com and, of course, broadcast or podcast it from there. And, of course, you can always listen to the radio station, as we've so mentioned. Frank, what else could you add to this conversation?
Yeah, so I would just, to Stephanie's point, I think that on paper, you'll find that most brokers have the same resources. But I think it's really about listening. I think it's about the RFP is, I think, the employer's opportunity to really spell out what their needs are, what their wants are, kind of what the shortfalls of their current brokers, services are, what they're getting and not getting. So I think in order to differentiate yourself as a broker, I think you have to listen. I think you have to really look at the RFP. I think you've got to ask good questions. I think it's the HR's side or the employer's side to really, really spell that out so they're going to get a really quality response. But I think the vendors that listen well, put forth the tools and resources that they have at the forefront to solve for those solutions or solve for those problems or those shortfalls. And I think the RFP process, Stephanie's point, is where you really have the opportunity to shine. So I think it's important for an employer to be honest in the RFP, be forthright in the RFP, and be very transparent in what their needs and wants are. And I kind of think this is like dating. Selecting a broker is kind of like going on, match.com or one of those and trying to find your match. So you're really trying to find somebody you want to date and that you want to spend time with and that's somebody you can see, go breaking bread with and somebody that you want to spend time with, because you're going to spend a lot of time with your broker. You're going to be each other's best friends through a lot of craziness that's going to come at you. You're really going to try to solve for solutions and make them look good to their senior leadership team. So I think an employer needs to come at this like, this is a relationship. This is going to be my best friend that's going to help get, have my back through this thing and make me look good to my employer. And we're going to be together a lot. So I don't want to be with somebody who's going to put me to sleep and be boring and tell me the same thing over and over again. I think you want to find some. I want to date you. So if you want to date me, call me at Lion. I'm ready to go on that date. But I think that you have to look at this as a long-term friendship or relationship, and who knows me or who gets me the best and gets my organization the best and is going to make me look good. So I think that's kind of something you have to keep in the back of your head when you're going through this process.
No, that makes perfect sense. I know a lot of organizations that probably over the years have maybe two or three different brokers for different things. They haven't pulled them all together. Maybe they met somebody, they really made that connection, and they're doing their health insurance. And maybe another broker, Crosstown, they've done some business with, and they made the determination they're going to maybe do their EPLI, or they're going to do their business insurance with, or then they're going to do maybe some other part of the show. And maybe there's a third broker that handles all of the insular insurances, right? All the things that have the dental and all the maybe their employee base or all that sort of thing. Talk to us a little about that type of setup and why that is a good idea, bad idea, or what people could think about that aspect. Because I certainly know many companies that have that. I've known Bob for 30 years. He's always had my health insurance. I'm going to continue out my health insurance, but I want others for doing other things. How do you talk about that, Stephanie?
I would say a lot of it does depend on the size of the organization when you start splitting things up. But for instance, at another firm that I was at, Stop Loss, we could go to an employer because we had different ways that we could help an employer with their stop loss, because we had a center of excellence. So, and where it kind of wiped out the commission, the 10% commission. So that was one thing that you could kind of do standalone. When you're talking about ancillary, like life and disability, those kind of go hand in hand with when somebody is out on leave, right? Because if they're out on disability, they're not working. And at Alliant, we do have a specialty practice, the Alliant Leave Advantage, where we would take over the broker of record for the life and disability piece, because we would be managing that, the leave process as well. So it really does depend on the brokerage firm and what some of their expertise might be and how you could piecemeal that. But in essence, I would say half the time it's in the employer's best interest to have one broker, because that way the broker can look at everything holistically. But again, it really depends on the situation, in my opinion. Frank, you could have a totally different opinion.
I don't necessarily have a different opinion, because I agree with you. I think in a lot of instances, it makes a tremendous tremendous advantage for having somebody look at all of it holistically, because they do interact with one another. So somebody who is out on leave is also accessing their medical care and their medical claims. So sometimes having a synergy between the two allows you to look at the persons holistically, like, how can we get them back to work? What's going on with them? What resources can we bring to the table to help, you know, rehab them back to work? But sometimes employers feel like maybe putting all their eggs in one basket is not a good thing. But I think that overall, I agree. I think it makes sense to put everything together, because holistically you can look at the whole, you can look at the group in its entirety and look at all gaps and all risks that they fight.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored to thank our sponsors for their support and contributions to this program. We thank the law firms of Verrill, Jackson Lewis, and Sheehan Finney, along with our partners, Paper Trails and Strategic HR. Want to be the next sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say HR Power Hour sponsor.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetti.
And I'm Pete McVetti from McVetti's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. And we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetti's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every single day, starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy with simple smart search features, photos, video walkthroughs, and more. Zillow, find your way home.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. Today, we're talking with Stephanie Miller and Frank Verdi, and we're talking to them. Of course, they're from Alliant Employee Benefits. We're talking to them about, hey, you want to go out and select a broker? What does that really mean? And it's not as scary as people think. So in this segment, I'd like to talk about two topics. One specifically, HR professionals, and especially C-suite, they may not know the questions asked during this process. Could you give some examples of some of the possible questions or some of the things they should be thinking about directly to help them kickstart their RFP?
Yes. One, I think I mentioned it before, I think you should have a clear understanding of your why. Why are we going to go out to RFP process? And what are the things that are important to us as an organization and to our employees? I do think a very helpful tip is reach out to one of your broker friends, because again, these HR people have lots
they
of resources
sure do
out there. We have a sample RFP, and they really give you a laundry list of questions. And not only that, but I think it spurs some other ideas when they're looking at the questions to say, oh, my gosh, I didn't even think about that. And they might even, you know, have an alternative question they want to ask based on that. But I think, you know, you want to learn about the firm that you're going through a process with. So about the company. You want to understand the financial piece and the analytics, like what do I get? Do I get data every month? Do I get every quarter? Do I only see it once a year? Tell me what that process looks like. Do you have actuaries on staff or do you outsource that? Like some of those things are important to people. Compliance, we definitely want to have you address that in an RFP because there's so many changes that happen on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. It's crazy the amounts of emails we get, especially when you're a multi-state employer.
Oh yeah, that's a big piece.
Big piece. Frank, what other
I would
areas?
Say another a couple items. So one of the big topics or the big issues is a lot of employers have overseas or non-US domestic employees. So working with a firm that has the capabilities so that you can holistically. It's like you can't always shadow globally what you're offering domestically in the U.S. because the healthcare systems and the cultures are so different. But where you can, you want to create synergies so that you have, if you have a well-being program, let's say in the U.S., you want to make sure you have something that's parallel for your global employees because everybody's struggling mental health in different areas, probably all the same. We have a lot of commonality. So that's important. I also think benchmarking. You want to be competitive in the market. You want to make sure the benefits that you're offering are what your industry is looking for. So I think having a firm that has their hands on a pulse of benchmark, what's available, what are other firms doing, is extremely important and has to be part of your RFP to understand their capabilities there. And then I think working with a firm who understands your industry. So they have verticals within their organization that are focused specifically on those areas. Like in New England, pharma biotech, huge, huge industry. Academia,
healthcare.
Healthcare, huge. So you want to work with a firm and you want to make sure that's addressed up front in the RFP and that you get a sense of what that firm's expertise is in your industry so that they know what you're going through and what your employees are looking for and what you go through on a day-to-day basis. And they are on the ready to give you information about what other firms are doing so that you can A, remain competitive, but also, or even be ahead of the curve. If you want to be the top tier firm that's ahead of the curve or you know, you want to make sure that they understand that and can help you get there. So I think those are also important things to think about when you're in the RFP process. It's not just about money. And how much is it going to cost me for the new broker? And do I like the person? It's also about what resources do they bring to the table to make me look good and to keep my employees happy and to grow with me as I grow, you know, as I continue to grow too.
One more point too. I have a section in there about communication with your employees. You know, how do you communicate benefits? How do you communicate new benefits and educate your employees on those benefits? And also, what resources do you have for my employees? I'm a team of two people here and we have 500 employees. I don't want them calling me for everything benefits. That if that's the case, you definitely want to be able to weed out some of the firms that don't have a solution or offer anything.
So as companies think about this, is it a good practice for them to maybe do either some focus groups or at least bring in key players to see before they put out this RFP what benefits that maybe they would like, don't like? Is there a way to provide lists of what benefits are? So I only know what I know. I don't know what I don't know. Right. So how would you recommend somebody go through that? I'll talk about the way front side of that world. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah. So really great question, David. So I feel like you should select a broker that can help and partner with you to do that. But typically employee engagement surveys are great ways to do it. You don't want to get employees fatigued and give them one every quarter and every 10 minutes on every topic. So you got to make them very strategically focused. But I would say doing an employee engagement survey every other year, important, or pulse survey of some sort. And then to your point, really specific focus groups that boil down the employees, you know, give them an opportunity and a voice to express their opinions. But you have to do that with keeping in mind that you have to be willing to take action on it. So if you have a zero budget and you can't do anything, you can't ask people questions about things that are going to cost the firm money, you got to make the survey focused on topics that are low-hanging fruit that might be vendors or solutions you already have in place, and then maybe it's just a re-education campaign that goes on. But if I have a couple seconds, I'll just tell you, I had a large healthcare client, hospital system, about 7,500 employees in Central Jersey, and you know, they were just doing everything status quo. They were, you're kind of thinking you're putting the benefits in that everybody wants. But if you don't ask people, are you really spending $80 million on your benefits? Are you spending it the right way? Maybe there's benefits that are more important. Maybe employees like are more concerned about PTO and time off and leave, and they want the best dental coverage because everybody goes to the dentist, and they want the best infertility benefits. Well, you can put your money and your spend there as opposed to maybe spending it on a commuter benefit when nobody pays for parking at the facility or other things. So I think having employee engagement surveys not only makes the employee feel their voice matters, it's also a good way to really find out what you should be spending your money on. And then it makes employees feel good when you can act on things and actually solve for what they want. So really never ask questions in a survey or never get to, you know, to solutions or things that people want that you can't act on. So that's a very important thing. And you have to work with a broker who gets you and gets your industry, because we're not going to ask questions that we know you can't act on.
Yeah, I think that's a very critical piece of the equation, right? Is you're only as good as the data you receive. And if you aren't taking the time to get the accurate data, then you're working on theory. You're working on a premise that you're doing everything you should be doing and not really looking at the actual things that you could be doing. Or maybe you just don't know what you could do, right? Or you make assumptions, as too many of us do, certainly in any working environment that we work with. You know, as we wrap up this section, Stephanie, when you think about an employer that comes to you and talks to you about RFPs, and you put all this together, how would you wrap up what is really on a good RFP?
What is really good on an RFP, I really believe it's the front page, and it's what Frank said. Give us all the information you possibly can in the beginning of that RFP. Tell us about your company. Tell us about your culture. Tell us about all of your benefits. Just give us that snapshot. And also, perhaps even be willing during the RFP process, if somebody is chosen as a finalist, perhaps be willing to share some data with them, with the firms, so that when they do their presentations, they can come back and I guess kind of give you some over-the-shoulder free consulting?
I was just going to say there's a spectrum between cost and value. We know that if you want to have the Mercedes-Benz of plans, it's going to cost you. And if you are okay, maybe your employees are very young and don't really use the healthcare benefits other than preventative care, having a really high deductible plan will A, save the company monies and meet the employees' needs. But maybe the employees are folks who want a PPO or want an expensive plan, and that's not going to work for them. So I think understanding in the RFP, are we all about saving money? Is the goal of this RFP to save money because the company had, you know, took a hit financially, or we have a CFO who's tight and doesn't want to spend money and needs to, you know, really focus strategically on cost savings for the company? Or are we looking at having the best in class of benefits? So I think, and what level on the spectrum people fall within that range, but I think really understanding how much people want to spend on benefits, how important the price is to folks, and are they a price shopper or a value shopper? So I think those two things are really important to find out up front so that you're not spinning your wheels or putting services in front of a client that they can't afford or they don't want or don't need, or a CFO
or
is never going to buy. Yeah, or that a CFO is just never going to buy and pay for it.
You are exactly correct. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? When someone you barely even know comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it?" That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Stitch Fix is convenient. Get everything delivered right to you. Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clough, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HR Power Hour.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Farrell-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. Of course, the HR Power Hour is presented by WLOB Radio. And of course, you can listen to it on any major podcast channel Or, of course, you go to hrpowerhour.com. Today, our guests have been Stephanie Miller, Frank Verde, and we're talking about Alliant Employee Benefits, and we're talking about how to pick a new broker, because it might be time. So as we wrap up the show today here in the last segment, thank you, both of you, for being on the show today. What are three key takeaways that an organization should take away from today's conversation? And tell us a little bit about how to wrap this up today. What would be, you know, what's the big takeaway?
My first takeaway is an RFP process does not have to be complicated. You can ask 5 questions or you can ask 50 questions. You can skip the whole paper process and just ask 3 or 4 firms to come in and give it your best shot. Finalist, we want to meet the team. That keeps the time down, time spent. And number 2, Frank, I'll let you talk about, but because I think number 3 is going to be the same for both of us.
Yeah, I just think it's about being honest about what your needs are, what your wants are, what your wish list is. Recognize that most firms in the brokerage world probably have very similar tools and resources. So you've got to think about, who do I like? Who would I have dinner with? Who do I want to date? You know, I mentioned it earlier, but who can I see myself dating in terms of my insurance needs? And I think you need to really spell out in the RFP who your company is. I think you really need to, you know, by reading this 5-page, 10-page, 3-page, 1-page, whatever your RFP is, or this email that you send out, the person reading it should get a good sense of who you are, who your firm is, and what you're looking for. And I think if you do a really good job with that, you're going to get really quality responses back on your RFP, and it'll really help you make a quality decision about who to partner with strategically long-term to really, you know, make a difference on your relationship.
And Stephanie, what's number 3?
I think Frank and I could both say to call Alliant if you're thinking about going out to RFP.
I want to date you. I want to date you.
Yeah. I'll date whoever, you know, I'll take it.
I'm fun. I want to date you.
This is the first on the HR Power Hour. This is the first.
But seriously, if you want a sample RFP or you want to learn more about Alliant before you send us an RFP, happy to have that conversation.
So if somebody wants to reach you, what is a website they should go to?
Well, they can email either Frank or I. I'm Stephanie.Miller@Alliant.com.
And Frank.Verde@Alliant.com as well.
And they can look the information up, I'm assuming, at Alliant.com.
Alliant.com.
Yep, Alliant.com. That's awesome. Well, I want to thank you both for being on the show today, providing this information. I think it's something people may or may not think about all the time, but if they do, I think you provide a nice roadmap for them. Thank you both for being on the show.
Thanks, you, David, for having us. Fun time.
Yes.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk, WLOB, podcast on all major podcast channels, and of course, hrpowerhour.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on Newstalk, WLOB, 100.5 FM, or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.